Yesterday, on Monday, February the 3rd, we published the first part of this chat. Now let's get started with part two. Now, to shift our focus and talk about the really big Brockman news for audio enthusiasts, I'm a huge fan of the early days of the Troubleshooter series in print. In fact, my list of top 10 romances in print format was published over at All About Romance just this last August, and Out of Control, the fourth in the Troubleshooter series, made that list. Now, I have been reading or listening to romances, hundreds of them, over the past 12 years. So to say that I simply love this series is an understatement. I recall grading a number of those earlier books an A plus plus plus. I listened to the first four books in the Troubleshooter series after I had read each in print format, and decided as I finished listening to each that future rereads would be in print rather than audio. Those early narrations just did not work for me, to say the least. So I think we've hinted at it. Suze, what's the big news for these early entries to the Troubleshooter series?
Yeah, the big news is that Blackstone Audio is going to be re-recording those first four Troubleshooters books. So that's The Unsung Hero, The Defiant Hero, Over the Edge, and Out of Control. We're going to be using the dual narrator format, and hopefully with Patrick and Melanie. And I am so excited about this because, like you, I didn't listen to all of them when I received them. And again, I had no input into any of those previous recordings. So we're gonna redo them, and we're gonna use this format that's worked so well. And Blackstone has given me a tentative release date for The Unsung Hero as being summer 2014, which is this summer. People should watch my website and Facebook page, and I'll be shouting about it loudly when it happens, because this is a project that is really near and dear to my heart. I mean, this is something that when I heard Flashpoint, which is the first book that Patrick and Melanie recorded, I started thinking about The Unsung Hero and how it would be, the recording would be so improved with their reading of it. So Patrick and Melanie hopefully will be my readers, and they will get a chance to meet all those characters who people those first four books. I'm really excited about it.
Well, we are absolutely thrilled with this news. We have been wishing and hoping for this announcement for years now, but didn't think would be so lucky. And when these books are re-released, we'll be making a big deal of it here at Audio Gals. Our plan is to not only get current Brockman fans hyped, but bring new listeners to the series as well. It's almost like there's a whole generation out there to be introduced to these early Troubleshooter series. Audio-wise, I think that is true. So after the first four are recorded, are there plans to re-record books 5 and 6? I know that Patrick and Melanie don't narrate those two titles. And personally, I must add, book 6, Gone Too Far, Sam and Alyssa's book, is another one of my very favorites in print format, and I'd love to see it re-recorded. Any hopes that these two may be re-recorded as well?
Yes, that's on my personal to-do list as well. And yeah, I've been talking with Blackstone about this, but we're, you know, first things first, and we're going to start with The Unsung Hero, but yeah, definitely. Again, I'd like to put those two stories in with the dual narrator format. I think that would be really fun to let listeners hear those stories that way.
Oh, that's truly thrilling news to us. I mean, really. Okay, since we will be promoting the series as a whole in audio format, we have another question. Once those first books are re-recorded, what about books 7, 8, and 9? I know they're performed by Patrick and Melanie, but they aren't available at Audible or even Downpour. Do you see that being resolved, and are they available as downloads anywhere?
Okay, you're talking about Flashpoint, Hot Target, and Breaking Point, all of which were dual narrated by Patrick and Melanie. Blackstone Audio has bought the rights to those audiobooks, which were originally owned by another audio publisher, and we're in the transition period right now where they're unavailable as downloads while the rights change over to Blackstone. But they're definitely going to be coming back as downloads, probably in the near future. And with the original recordings, I believe that's the deal that we've got worked out. So I'll keep you posted, but we are in this kind of weird transition time where the first publisher sells out their stock and the downloads got pulled off, kind of like, you know, like a Disney movie when suddenly it's not available anymore. It'll come back.
Oh,
just like from the Brockman vault.
Yeah.
Melanie and Patrick, will you all be recording these first four in the Troubleshooter series?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So do you see yourself studying the voices of characters you performed in Flashpoint and other entries to the series to brush up on the voices of characters such as Tom and Kelly, who appeared as minor characters in later books, or do you plan to develop new characterizations for the earlier books' protagonists?
Suze?
Loaded question.
Tom Paletti has the very slightest bit of a Boston accent. Very slightest.
Oh,
and
then
Patrick and I he's not a Kennedy.
I do the worst Boston accent.
So we're gonna I'm hoping we'll go with Hunky Hero number 3. Can you do that, Patrick? He can do that. I know he can do that.
Should I use that? I used that in Do or Die. Oh, well, they're different series. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I can recycle. That's good. No, I'll probably go back and listen. I just a little confession. I cringe when I listen to myself. So it's very difficult to go back over old material. But I'll probably have to go back and listen to a few of them and see, because we have done most of these characters already, but they've come in for like one or two lines or something, and
very small. First four books are kind of they're kind of like a subset. So there are characters who appear in them who don't, John Nilsen. There's a Lieutenant John Nilsen that you may remember him from, really just like a line or two in the later books. But the second book, he's the hero. So
probably
I think
you won't try to make them match.
Yeah.
We probably won't try to make him match, but like guys like Kenny Carmody or something, it's, you know, I'm guessing I'm going to have to go back and hear what I've done to kind of, because he's been kind of a semi-big character before. So
he showed up
again in something. I can't remember
Pursuit.
Which.
I think he was in Hot Pursuit. I think he gets shot in Hot Pursuit. But Kennedy is kind of like, you're going to like him. He's there's elements of Izzy in there. It's not the same character, but he's the same kind of irreverent, no filter between brain and mouth. You know, he says things that.
I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that.
It's really, really fun. Really fun. And there's those books also have World War II subplots. So they're told in flashback, and they have some of the characters in the World War II subplots are also characters in the contemporary story as elderly. Citizens, you know, they have a role in the main action sequence, but we get to also visit them when they're younger, sometimes when they're children, sometimes when they're young adults. So there's going to be a lot of fun stuff for you to do. For example, in Out of Control, part of the book is a memoir that's written by the heroine's grandmother and who was worked for the SAS in super spy in World War II, and actually was in Germany, and so her story is read by, it's a, it's like it's a, the book the book is like on the bestseller list. So everybody's reading it. And so all different characters are reading chapters of this memoir. So you get to, so it'll be really interesting to see how the best way to record that is, whether it should be Melanie, since it's the, this character, her name is Rose, her story, or if, for example, the character Jones is reading the chapter, should he read it? Or, you know, I mean, we'll have to look at it and see. I mean, I think there might be some parts where Jones is reading it aloud. And at that point, so it's really, I mean, the book is actually part of the, like, it's really part of the plot and part of the story where these characters, kind of non-connected characters, are reading it, and they all kind of come together for the big action sequence at the end. So there's a lot of there's fun stuff in there that we're gonna have to think about in terms of the best way to do the recording. And you know, I trust you guys totally. So I think, you know, it's gonna be fun for you, I think.
Well, and I think that's my favorite one you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is very moving, I will say, with this subplot that's happening in World War II. And then that's the one that has Jones and Molly as a subplot. Is that correct?
Yes.
They are one of my very favorite couples that you have written. And I will also say that I read that. That was my first Brockman. I read nearly all of your books out of order, and they worked for me. So I want others to know that too. Okay, let's go on now and ask a little bit more to Melanie and Patrick. First of all, about recording as a team, you all have done it for 10 years now. I believe your first performance together was Flashpoint, Book 7 in the Troubleshooter series. Do you think your skills and compatibility have changed in those 10 years?
No, not at all. No, we've gotten worse, if anything. Mel, you want to start?
You'll just tell me when I'm wrong.
I'll just sit here and every time you say something, I'll go. because that's kind of how we work, you know. It's just,
right.
You know.
Yeah. It's somewhat, I guess, but we had a working relationship and we were close friends before we started recording. So we just always have worked well together. And so I'm not sure that it's improved. It may have deepened a little, but it was pretty formidable to begin with. So I don't really see it subtly, but we've always been pretty efficient. I mean, I think we get it done, and we get it done with good quality and without wasting a bunch of time. So, you know, there are those occasions where we just have to stop and laugh and then hearing about the one that's so touching, I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, here we go. That's
it's so hard.
That's where they stop listening.
When they're like, it's because get choked up, and then Patrick chokes up, and then the engineer chokes up, and we all have to take a break. And you know, it's like, oh, it's really sweet and I love it, but it's hard to record while you're crying.
Yeah.
The whole mucus thing, you can't just filter out the mucus is the problem.
Performing those action scenes when lives are at stake and things are happening fast, how do you impart that sense of action to listeners? Are there voice techniques you use to create tension? I mean, can you actually sit still when narrating such passages?
Well, you kind of have to. I mean, to a certain extent, you don't get to move your mouth. So you've got to keep at least a close relationship with the microphone. You can kind of move a little bit, like maybe this way, but I'm kind of a hyper guy a little bit. And so, you know, I've kind of gotten to a point where I can like move my hands and my arms and stuff without moving my face. And it's a little tough because you get going and you get ramped up, and we tend to go faster a little bit, but it's kind of more than that. It's what we aim for is to get like just more, more intensity, more specificity, and less pauses. And it's really, if you really want to get going, the important thing isn't to speed the words up. It's to take all the air out from in between them so that they just zip. And actually, what I've found when we do it, for these books anyway, it seems as though the recording goes better because we're focused so much more intently on the words and moving it along that you tend to have a little bit more focus and you tend to make less mistakes. It almost doesn't seem, you know, like it should be that way, but it sort of is. And, you know, and this again, and I don't mean to sound like an acolyte or anything, but really, again, good writing really helps that, because when the action scenes call for it, you'll notice sentences get shorter, active words are more present. It's really very easy to read good writing the way it needs to be read because you're helped so much. You have a roadmap. There are other authors who will remain nameless that try to do this but don't have the actual mechanics of it down. And it, while it may be great on paper, saying it aloud is a real challenge. And with Sue's, it's very spelled out. Melanie and I really just, you know, kind of collect a paycheck. We just go in and, you know, we pick up the glory. It's like, it's all there for us, but.
Oh no. Oh no. That said. You know, can I just tell a really quick story here? Cause I went into the studio, to record a short story that was going to be a part of a bonus extra to Into the Storm. And I thought, wow, you know, I am a singer. I've done some producing. This is going to be really cool. I've been in the recording studio before. It's going to be, you know, a piece of cake, 20, I don't know how many pages was it? 25 pages, this little short story, you know, be in and out of the studio really fast. And I went in and, first of all, it took forever. And I took like 20,000 breaks. I drank 20,000 bottles of water. I had to go to the bathroom 20,000 times. And it was me in the studio. And then I get out and I get into the recording booth and I'm like, okay, let's hear it. It's going to be awesome. And the engineer is like, oh yeah, well, we'll have to take out all the lip licks. And I'm like, and he was like, yeah, here, listen. And it was like, every time between, like, you know, every sentence, all this like total Jabba the Hutt kind of noises that I was making. I had no idea. And so that was horrifying. And I kind of crawled home defeated. No, not really defeated, but the project was finished. But I crawled home from the studio and I emailed Patrick and I said, oh my God, you are my hero. I cannot imagine recording a 500 page book. I barely survived 25 pages. And it really, you know, if anybody who thinks, you know, and I'm sure, you know, like as a writer, you know, I go to cocktail parties and people are like, oh yeah, I'd like to write a book someday. And you're like, you do that. But, and I'm sure you get a similar thing as reading audio books, that must be so easy, and just smile and nod and think, nah, yeah, you would not survive, because man, that was physically exhausting. And I, you know, and look at me with my 25 pages, and you know, and these guys are talking about, you know, 12 hour days in the studio for Do or Die. That book is 558 pages long. Oh my God. And they do it and it is so good. The final product is so good. And I don't know, maybe you guys have the horrific lip licks that I that I have.
Oh,
that I
God, read, no.
But probably not.
No. No,
but
no.
Really, it is an amazing thing, and I appreciate it so much. So,
well, thank you. It's I keep coming back to it being a lot of fun, and it's not always a lot of fun, but with these books, it is.
Thank you.
There are others that, you know, I mean, I basically categorize my books like whitewater rapids courses. and Sue's is basically a placid lake. It's really nice. It's very easy to maneuver.
One of the other audio gals, Melinda, is not only a big Brockman fan, but she is also what I would call a Brockman book expert. She is the one who explained the deep point of view to me years ago. And she adores you, Patrick. She may even be your biggest fan. This question is for you, Suze, from Melinda. You have stated that you created the character of Izzy in Breaking the Rules for Patrick's voice. Does this mean you see Patrick as a young, hyperactive, talks a mile a minute, slightly crazy, slightly irresponsible guy?
Okay. It means that I see Patrick not only as an extremely talented actor, but as a creative collaborator who somehow almost miraculously gets my writing on a level that's pretty impressive. You know, I've said it before, but it bears repeating that Patrick's ability to deliver both comedy and drama, and to really understand the rhythm and the, well, like poetry, if you will, of my words. It is uncanny. I can write a sentence and I know that he's going to read it exactly as I hear it in my head. And, you know, he and Melanie both get it. And it's the coolest thing to write something. So Izzy, yes. No, I remember sitting at my computer and writing the very first scene from Izzy's point of view. And it was in Into the Storm. And so I'm writing this scene and I just start cracking up because I could hear Patrick reading it in my head. Patrick's was the voice that I heard in my head, and I knew that he would totally kill it in the audiobook, and he absolutely did. It is the most fun to write Izzy because I know that Patrick, he reads it with an authenticity that is remarkable. It's such a pleasure.
So Patrick, how does it feel to have a character created just for you to perform?
Well, they've been using my picture for the book covers for a long time, so I figured they might as well. By the way, look at the book cover for Do or Die. That's all me.
That's me.
That is. Well, they had to shave down the muscles to get it on the page, but you know, it, for the most part, it's accurate. But it's awesome. No, it is. I mean, all kidding aside, it really is cool, and it's a lot of fun. And when I see Izzy's in there, I get all excited, even if he just comes in for a minute and, you know, throws a monkey wrench into what's ever going on and goes away. It's still a lot of fun, and it's very flattering, and it's very I'm honored. I think it's great, and I love it. I just love reading it. If it's the scene I'm thinking about, the play by play where he's in the backyard describing the day, yeah, oh my god, it is still like one of the most fun scenes I've ever done. It's just
it's basically a scene where Izzy is watching his friend kind of try to make a move on this beautiful woman, and Izzy's gone. They've gone over to help babysit. So Izzy's got the baby with him, and he takes the baby, crying baby, outside and quiets him down, and kind of sees his friend Cenk through these sliding doors as Cenk is kind of making his moves on Tracy, and Izzy kind of does, like Patrick said, a play-by-play of kind of imagining what Cenk is saying, but like removing all the subtext. So it's a pretty comedic scene, and yeah, that was where I knew that Patrick was gonna read the heck out of that one. And he did.
That book too, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't that have one of your few, like in the ones that I've done, that has one of your few one night stands that doesn't go very well, where the couple doesn't get together, but they still get together.
There are some of those in the books too.
There's very few of those, but this awkward one, the very first time Izzy hooks up with someone, it doesn't work.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, this is the character she wrote for me. Great. Thank you.
But he's so honest. Izzy is so honest, and he says what he feels. So yeah, he's one of my favorites of all the characters I've ever written, and so it's so much fun to again, to have the words in my head as I put them onto the page, to know they're going to be read exactly as I hear them, because there is a rhythm to the writing, and there is a the emphasis needs to be on certain words, and these guys, they just instinctively know, they get it on a level that's just that's really special, and so it's awesome.
It's fun, and this is part of, you know, why we can do 11 hours is because we've all, and how we, and this is kind of how we've evolved too. So this answers all your other questions, is we've kind of grown to sort of know how each other are all working. And it does make the whole process a lot more fun and a lot easier. So, and I'm absolutely grateful for it. I think it's like one of the most fun things I do, you know, that, you know, I'll leave it at that. I
won't. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Suze, back to Do or Die. What can we expect next for the Reluctant Hero series, and when?
Well, All or Nothing is the next title, and it is the next book out. It's coming out in hardcover and ebook from Ballantine, and in audio from Blackstone. And the tentative release date is a year from now, so next February. So that's what I'm supposed to be writing. Gotta get to it. But it is a sequel. It's a direct sequel to Do or Die. So there's going to be a lot of familiar characters. Martell Griffin is the hero of this book, and that's what's coming.
Okay. All right.
Is Phoebe back?
Well, is who?
Is Phoebe back?
Phoebe will be back. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She is. Ian is going to be kind of out of the country for a while, but Phoebe. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
We always like to end our talks by giving each of you the opportunity to talk about other projects you have in the works, any genre, not just romance.
I've got a new project coming out. It's a book called Night Sky. It's the first book in a new young adult series of paranormals that I have co-written with my daughter, Melanie. That book is coming out from Source Books in October of 2014. We don't have any plans as of yet for an audiobook, but that's something that we're definitely going to be looking into. I've also co-written and co-produced a little indie rom-com movie called The Perfect Wedding, which is available right now through our distributor, Wolf Releasing. You can get it on DVD, on demand, so that's out right now. And I also, you know what, I wanted to mention that that Blackstone Audio, my new audiobook publisher, has a website called downpour.com, which is worth checking out. And they also, they're a very library-friendly audiobook company, and they have part of their website is kind of designated for libraries and librarians. So it's something that if any librarians are listening, they should definitely check that out, because it's apparently really, really awesome website. So that's me.
What about you, Melanie? What do you have coming up?
Well, other than re-recording the first four books, yay! I have a 10-year-old, and she keeps me busy with violin and all that stuff. So I'm doing all that mommy stuff. But I just came off a really successful, amazing production of The Lion in Winter, where I got to play Eleanor of Aquitaine. That was pretty amazing.
Wow.
And in April, I'm directing Enchanted April. I'm very excited. So I do a lot of theater. And so so that's what I'm doing. I'm keeping myself busy between those three things.
Wow. And Patrick. What about you? And
I am good. I have a book called The Boom by Russell Gold, which I just finished for Brilliance Audio, that will be coming out shortly, about everything you've always wanted to know about fracking. So
wow.
get on the stick and listen to this. It's very informative, and the author takes a very, very middle of the road stance, so you can make up your own mind about it. It's a terrific book. Should be coming out in probably about a month. And then right now I'm recording Return to Life by Jim Tucker, MD, about about children who remember past lives. So a couple of nonfictions that are coming up. And I'm just reading that now, and it's a very fascinating read. And I'll be recording it this week. Then by the time this hits your site, I will have done a thing called the Backroom Shakespeare Company, which is a great fun thing where you get together a bunch of actors, you have one rehearsal, and then you put on for one performance a full Shakespeare play in a bar.
Whoa.
So
whoa.
I have that'll be that will be or will have been the 27th of January, depending on when this airs. And right now, as we are recording this, I'm frantically trying to learn my lines for Two Gentlemen of Verona. So it should be a lot of fun. And then that's basically it. Later in the summer, there's talk right now of a production of Winter's Tale, also by Shakespeare, here in Milwaukee. So we'll keep you posted on that one.
Okay. Well, our thanks to each of you for joining us today. It has been such a delight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And thank you, Sue.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Well, and our thanks to Blackstone Audio for sponsoring our Do or Die giveaway. We are giving away 10 copies of Do or Die this week, and I'd like to remind our listeners that you can download this chat to your MP3 player or listen directly from Audio Gals on your phone. Thanks to all our listeners. We'll feature more on Suzanne Brockman's audio titles tomorrow, Wednesday, February the 5th, in writing this time around. Suze, Melanie, and Patrick will be stopping by to answer any questions you may have.